broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride. Oh, yeah.
From the Liberty University broadcast studio, it's Todd Starnes.
Well, hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program, broadcasting from behind enemy lines here in Brooklyn, New York, where we are under de facto house arrest. Our poor mayor, Comrade Bill de Blasio, the last I heard, he was weeping on national television with Chuck Todd, Meet the Press, and he's completely lost his mind. He has no idea how to handle the crisis. And he is saying that people are going to die because of President Trump. He wants the military brought in. He cannot explain why he wants the military brought in. He is literally freaking out. And honestly, somebody needs to give the guy a Xanax because he's making all of us nervous. So we've got a lot to go through this hour of the program. I can tell you at this very moment, the Democrats are doubling down. They say you will either pass our leftist wish list or no relief for American families, no money for small businesses. We don't care about you people. They're willing to let the American people suffer. I want you to understand, folks, this is what's happening right now on Capitol Hill. The Democrats are willing to let the American people suffer. And I do believe that this ultimately is all about tanking our economy, and they're doing a hell of a good job of doing that right now. 844-747-8868. Toll-free number, that's 844-747-8868. Want to go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Good friend of mine is on the program with us, Steve Dace, one of the boldest men I know out there speaking truth to the culture. Steve, good to have you with us. Hope you and the family are doing good.
We're doing well, Todd. Thank you very much for having me, Brian.
You know, Steve, you have been raising a lot of concerns about the virus and how this has been handled. You've got just about every small business in America shut down now. What are your top concerns?
My top concerns from the very beginning is that we were conflating epidemiology talk with public policy. And one of the things that I think we have to come to grips with in audiences like yours here and mine on the Blaze, I think we have to come to grips with that even if you live in the South or red state America or rural America, all of your institutions are overrun with leftism, all of them, okay? So let me put in a theological, give you an analogy. Say Liberty University, your sponsor, wanted to have.
Did we lose Steve? All right, we lost Steve Dace. Blasted virus. It's even hurting our phone lines. What Dace is trying to say, and we're going to get him back on the program here momentarily, folks. We just lost the phone line. But he's trying to explain that every single one of our government agencies has been overrun by the left. This is what the president was talking about with the deep state. And that's why you cannot, it's horrible to say, but you cannot believe what's coming out of the mouths of a bunch of these government officials. Now, Steve, we got you back now, Steve.
Yes, I'm back, Todd. Sorry about that, brother.
You know what? It's I think you were on a phone line that was unprotected from the virus. My apologies.
That's all right. So say Liberty University wanted to have a debate about a particularly controversial theological topic that Christians have argued about for a couple thousand years. But say all they did to line up the debate was people who had one particular viewpoint from a worldview standpoint on the answer to that question. It doesn't mean that the data they present is wrong, and it doesn't mean that this is a mass conspiracy, but you're going to get what we call in statistics and in data analysis, which is part of what I do, you're going to get confirmation bias, because everybody is looking at the data through the filter of their own bias. If you had a geologist take you to the Grand Canyon and you wanted to argue sediment formations with him, I respect your intellect, brother, but you couldn't hang with him. That's his expertise, okay? But if he then looked at you and said, now, Todd, this happened because 600 million years ago, two amino acids decided to form a single-celled protein, you might call horse pucky on him then, because now we're beyond his expertise and we're into his worldview bias. And that's what is happening here. All of our institutions are overrun with leftism. That's why all the solutions that are being suggested are all from leftist perspectives. That's why everything is alarmist, because they think the Earth's going to die in 10,000 years. This is a very serious virus. People should be taking the precautions seriously, especially during these 15 days. We definitely are at my house. My kids haven't seen their grandparents in more than a week, and they just live, you know, on the other side of town. But when we talk about taking your way of life, forking over your freedoms and liberties, erasing once-in-a-lifetime precious memories, graduations, proms, things we wait all of our lives to experience or to experience with our kids and grandkids, and those things now are all gone, not to mention the cataclysmic economic costs. When you look at what is being, the American people are being asked to invest in this socioeconomically on very little data, I think it's really debatable that the ultimate cost of COVID-19 is going to be anywhere near what the socioeconomic costs already are.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And folks, you got to read Steve's column on theblaze.com. Questions that must be asked about how the nation should handle the COVID-19. Public policymakers need to give us answers. Steve, we've been talking about a lot of these questions on our show for the past 2 weeks. I'm with you. I think the economy is on the verge of being destroyed. I don't see how we can come back from that. And here's what got me about all this. Early on, they said, well, the mom and pop businesses, you guys got to shut down because you're a danger. But we're going to leave the big box stores where you have thousands of people congregating. It's okay for that. Right. That's okay to stay open. But you got to shut down your mom and pop business.
You're right. There's been inconsistencies with this the entire way. And I think that also is indicative of the fact that a lot of this stuff is, you know, you're hunting mice with the gun that you shoot an elephant with. And ultimately, we have to ask ourselves, what are the things we can ultimately control? So you're in New York State. As of yesterday, about 60% of all COVID-19 cases in the country were coming out of your state, and the vast majority of them out of really just New York City. The current death rate by population of COVID-19 in America is 0.501. The current infection rate is 0.301. Why would you have a 24% negation of your economy? That's what Morgan Stanley told its investors this morning. They were expecting in the second quarter was to post a Great Depression like minus 24. Why would you do that over those kinds of numbers? You may say, well, Steve, we're at the beginning of this cliff. Well, you don't know that because we don't know when the cliff started. The first recorded case of Wuhan in China that we know of was November 17th, at least 2 full months before they notified the WHO. CDC just said the first American exposure that they can now track was a gentleman from Wuhan that went to Spokane, Washington on January 17th. How many people went to hospitals with terrible RSVs in January and February? That we had no idea what it was because we didn't know what a coronavirus was, nor could we test for it. And so they were diagnosed with things like pneumonia because it's symptomatic is very similar, just like a viral pneumonia. We don't know the answers to any of these questions. I have people say stuff to me like, well, it's like, you know, if we all go to the concession stand at a football game right before halftime or right after, you know, it overwhelms the system. So we got to space it out. We go little by little. Except in a football game, I know when halftime is, Todd. I know when the game kicks off. I know when it expires. I know what time we let the people into the lots to begin tailgating. We don't know any of that with this. And yet we are making these massive draconian assumptions that could mortally wound our way of life, or at the very least set us back years and years. And oh, not so coincidentally, every solution being offered is pretty much every left-wing fever dream. And I'll point your audience to just one more thing I exposed last week. The data model that freaked out the political class here in the States came from a place called Imperial College. And they're the ones that came up with this 12 to 18 months of social distancing, and this thing could be here for a long, long time. Well, let me tell you about Imperial College. One of the biggest benefactors of Imperial College is a man named Jeremy Grantham. They have a think tank on campus there named after him called the Grantham Institute. Jeremy Grantham is 80 years old. He was heartbroken when Michael Bloomberg dropped out because he's got the same views on climate alarmism. He's donated 98% of his wealth by his own admission to, in his words, ending the 250-year energy bubble caused by fossil fuels. This is his religion. And so are we shocked that they came up with the most alarmist simulation possible. And then just a couple days after they sent this to our government, they're now on the website over there at Imperial College writing a column I shared about how they can now use the COVID-19 crisis to steer people to taking climate change seriously. We've got to be willing to push back on the same experts who know a lot more about invading Afghanistan than we do, but then also said to stay there forever with no actual mission or objective, right? Our founding fathers gave us a president, put him in charge, made him CEO, not the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, not the Surgeon General, okay, not the head of the Chamber of Commerce, but someone who would then weigh all of those various interests on behalf of the American people and then make the most prudent decisions that he could. I was gleeful this morning when I saw the president tweet out when I got up this morning, hey, we're going to look at this again in 15 days and then evaluate if the cure is more expensive than the disease. That's the debate. That's the question we've got to answer now.
That is the debate. And you're absolutely right. And honestly, Steve, I go back to, and you point this out so brilliantly in your column, where were these draconian policies and procedures back when tens of thousands of Americans were dying from the swine flu, the H1N1?
Just, Todd, on March 7th, this blew me away when I researched, I found this over the weekend. On March 7th, the federal government reported over 7% of all deaths. So right now, I just did the math where I came on with you. And right now, based on reported cases and deaths in America, that the COVID-19 has a death rate of about 1.2 exactly right now in America, meaning 1.2% of the people in America that we know have tested positive have died, okay? On March 7th, just the week before we started shutting the country down, the federal government reported that 7.7% of everybody that died, not just had the flu or pneumonia, but everybody that died in America that week, the week before we shut the country down, died of flu and pneumonia. That was just the week before this. Todd, how many of those people did we just misdiagnose because we didn't know what a COVID-19 virus was? How many, and then why wasn't there calls for flattening the curve? Last March 16th, we had the largest spike. We had one of the longest flu seasons in American history last year. It was 21 weeks. Last March 16th was the biggest spike of fatalities. 7.1% of everybody who had flu and pneumonia in America that week died. 65 million people got flu and pneumonia last year. 7.1% of them died in 1 week. Why weren't we calling for shutting the country and the economy down at this time last year? Those are the questions the American people, the Constitution presumes audiences like yours can get informed, educated, and make adult decisions and ask the right questions. In my opinion, those are the kinds of questions audiences like ours need to be asking their elected officials, and starting with the president right now, especially him, because it appears at least he's listening.
Steve, we got about 60 seconds here. What do you think is ultimately behind all of this? What do you think the end game is?
I think, you know, Italy admitted over the weekend they cooked their books. If you went in there with any pre-existing condition like emphysema, anything serious that could kill you at all, and said that you had, and then you tested positive for COVID-19 and died, they counted you as a coronavirus death. And that is what freaked out the Western world, is what happened in Italy. I think you've got a conflation of events here, Todd. A serious virus, hysteria, panic, political narratives, and they've all stirred into a cauldron that I think show we are a culture in deep, deep need of revival.
Well said. Well said, my friend. It's a terrific column you wrote, and folks, you need to read this. We're going to post a link to it on our page, or you can just go directly to theblaze.com. Steve, do you have a private website folks can get more information? You've got a great podcast, too.
Everything that we put up there that we link in real time, the easiest way to get it is either at my Facebook page or follow me on Twitter at Steve Dace Show.
All right, Steve, thanks. We'll get you back on the show. Steve Dace, ladies and gentlemen, great stuff. And you need to read this. Let it sink in so you understand what's really going on here. 844-747-8868, our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
America's only fair and balanced talk radio host, Todd Stearns.
right, this information just coming in. Senator Amy Klobuchar, most recently a presidential candidate, has just announced that her husband has coronavirus. And we just shared a message on our Twitter page, Todd Starnes, at Todd Starnes on our Twitter handle. Just maybe take a moment and pray for the Klobuchar family. Looks like her husband's pretty sick, and let's pray for a speedy recovery. In the meantime, a lot going on up on Capitol Hill as debate continues, but the Democrats are digging in. And even some of these swing state Democrats, like Doug Jones from Alabama, even he voted against this bill. Folks, this makes absolutely no sense. This was a bipartisan bill. A bipartisan bill, and it has completely fallen apart because the Democrats wanted more. And how difficult is it to produce a clean bill up on Capitol Hill? Let's just say, for example, okay, you need a post office. So you write the legislation and you get the bill in and you vote on the post office. But you can't just vote on the post office because by the time you get to vote on it, you've got everything under your sun added to that bill. Why can't we just have clean bills up on Capitol Hill? Why do they have to waste and squander money? It's absolutely unacceptable. I got to tell you something. I'm not a big fan of Susan Collins, but even she's getting infuriated with the Democrats. And I say good. I say every single person listening to this radio program needs to be calling up there and standing alongside the lawmakers who are doing the right thing. And all the rest of them, they need to go find something else to do. We're done with you. So we'll keep you posted, keep you updated on what's going on here. But this is a pretty pathetic thing that's happening up in Washington, D.C. This is sheer politics. Shame on you, Democrats. Shame on you. And I know Steve Dace said that really this was sort of like the perfect storm of issues. But I'm telling you, I think there's a lot of politics going on here. A lot of politics, ladies and gentlemen. And you can't tell me that there were not some Democrats up on Capitol Hill who see this as an opportunity to take out this president. And if they've got to tank our economy, then by golly, they're going to do it. This is a dangerous place we're going, folks. It is a very dangerous place. And this fear-mongering, people living in fear, the anxiety, that's not who we are as Americans. That's not who our founding fathers were. That's not who the greatest generation was. We've been through difficult times. We're going to get through it. Something else is going on here. Something else is going on. 844-747-8868. Toll free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
She's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown.
Or Brooklyn.
I live back in the woods, you see. My woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn.
Some hush puppies, I could buy some catfish.
Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do.
Smoke them if you got them, boys.
grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
You know, one of our listeners, Artie, sent me an email. He says, Todd, you know, every so often, you should just play the beginning of A Country Boy Can Survive by Hank Williams Jr. And Artie, we just delivered. What a great idea. And so you know what we're going to do, Caleb? Let's put that in the rotation every now and again. I think it's a good reminder that, you know what, when the apocalypse comes, I think I'd rather be hanging out with country folk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hey, you're not going to get any arguments from me on mixing some Hank Jr. into the lineup. None at all.
You can't go wrong with Hank Jr. in your show lineup. You just really can't. But that song, you know, there's a lot of truth in that song. And I'm not saying that folks here in Brooklyn can't take care of themselves, but they can't take care of themselves. It's always good in times of the apocalypse to have friends with tractors. That's all I'm saying. I guarantee you, and I know a lot of people in the radio business, but I guarantee you that this radio program is probably more equipped to handle the apocalypse, the end of the world, than any other show out there. I mean, Avery's got a pickup truck. Caleb, you got a pickup truck?
I do.
See, we've got two pickup trucks. You can't get much better than that, and I guarantee you that you know how to go out there and go fishing.
I do know how to fish.
And maybe, have you done a little hunting?
I have done a little. Not much success with it, but I have done a little.
All you need is a good fishing line and get some worms, and you get out there and you get yourself some catfish or some bass or crappie or crappie, depending on where you live, and you have some good eating. And I guarantee you that most folks could not do that across the fruited plain. Just impossible. So anyway, good idea. Good suggestion, Artie. And folks, we always welcome ideas. If maybe there's a song or maybe something that you have seen, just drop us a line, or you can send us a note over on the website, toddstarns.com. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now then, back to what's happening up on Capitol Hill, because this is a big mess. The Democrats say they are going to hold their guns. They are not going to allow a vote on the coronavirus relief package unless the Republicans capitulate to their very long list of demands. Senator Joni Ernst tweeting just a few moments ago, "This is unacceptable that my Democrat colleagues are upholding immediate relief for workers, families, seniors, and businesses across the U.S. This is a bipartisan package. Many sections of the bill were written by Democrats and with Democrats. This is not a time for politics. It's a time for leadership and action." By the way, four Democrat senators who claim to be bipartisan have voted against this, including Senator Doug Jones of Alabama, Senator Tina Smith of Minnesota, Senator Gene Shaheen of New Hampshire, and Senator Gary Peters of Michigan. So I just want you folks to understand, when there is no more money in your bank account, when the small businesses that you rely on are shut down, the only people responsible, and I do mean this, the only people responsible are Democrats. And that's pretty disgusting. Pretty disgusting. Have you heard about what's happening in Portland, Oregon? No, they're not rioting. This is the headline from the Oregonian newspaper. That's what they call people who live in Oregon, Oregonians. Portland strip club forced to close, so dancers now do delivery. You know, I guess you got to pay the bills. You got to pay the bills. Even in a global pandemic, you got to pay the bills. So apparently the strip clubs in Portland, Oregon are not essential, and the strippers are not essential personnel. So Lucky's Devil Lounge was forced to close. Governor Kate Brown said, yeah, got to close down the strip joints. And that was a big problem. So because now these exotic dancers, if you will, have no longer have gainful employment. So what are they to do? So they've come up with a pretty clever plan B, if you will. Caleb, I shouldn't read any further into this story.
Yes, you should.
Because this is a family-friendly radio program.
Go for it.
So instead of dancing, instead of taking a twirl around the pole, they have decided to launch a takeout or delivery business. So apparently the exotic club has a restaurant, and they are churning out food now. It's called Boober Eats, as in...
Oh, gosh, no.
As in Boober Eats.
Oh, come on.
You know what's funny about this is that I was showing Avery in the break. I showed Avery. I was reading a story here in Atlanta, actually. There's a strip club that has had to close as well, and what they're doing is they're offering $20, virtual visits or like online visits with these dancers. For $20, you can pay and do that. So everybody's trying to find creative ways to keep the cash flow coming.
So the owner of the club says that they have about 25 dancers, and so I guess they're doing the burgers and the chicken wings, and then the dancers, I don't know their names, Kitten, Muffy, I don't know, Buffy, I don't know.
That makes me feel uncomfortable.
Avery, close your Baptist ears.
Okay.
Close your Baptist ears. Go.
Can I go in the corner now?
Self-isolate.
Can I go in the corner, please?
Notice that you told him to close his ears and not his eyes.
Yes. So, according to the Oregonian newspaper, so this is an actual legitimate newspaper, 25 dancers are now doing deliveries, and guys, apparently they're making several hundred dollars a night. I guess the tips are pretty good, apparently.
What one thing I'm curious about is how good is the food? How good are the wings? How good are the burgers?
You know, Hooters has pretty good wings. From what they say.
I've never been to Hooters, and I don't plan on going to Hooters ever.
Buffalo Wild Wings is much better.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. I love Buffalo Wild Wings.
And they're wearing clothes.
Yes.
Clothes at Hooters, too. Technicalities.
Technically, is that what you call it?
Yes.
It is. I've
seen a coronavirus mask with more coverage. So the owner says that, hey, look, this is really great for business because they've had to hire a kitchen staff to cook the meals. They've hired the dancers to the bartenders are now working the phones and doing the social media pages, I guess, Facebook and whatnot. And they've hired security guards to drive the dancers to the deliveries. So what do they do, like twirl around the front porch post?
I imagine it's something like, you know, like in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, mm-hmm. like where she comes and then it's his sister who sees it. And I think that scene's always really funny. But I think it's probably something like that. I don't know.
Now, the good news. So
I don't want to know either.
There's an important rule if you're going to use boobers. You're not allowed to touch the dancers because this is a pandemic.
You know, hashtag social distancing, baby.
Just because you're an exotic dancer, you got to practice good hygiene, even though it's a pandemic. So they're saying, according to the Oregonian here, this is a fascinating story. They say that each of the ladies is provided a mask, disposable gloves, and sanitizing wipes. So I guess they got the wet wipes. But they're not stripping off the gloves, though. They got to keep the gloves on and the mask.
They're not doing like what was the superhero last week that like wore them as clothing or something?
Oh, it's $30 delivery fee, and then you get tips on top of that.
Oh, dear Lord.
Plus the cost of the food, I'm assuming.
So I clicked on the link here. I didn't want to tell you guys to do that. I wasn't quite sure what we would see, but they do have a menu.
Much gratitude is expressed for me right now. Thank you.
Well, I'm looking out for you. I don't want to get a call from Avery, the call screener's, you know, mother or Sunday school teacher.
You sent me the link, Todd.
Caleb, you can get, it's Tuesday is a mini corn dog day, $5, but then there's a $30 charge for the delivery.
How much for a corn dog?
$5.
Wow. That's a lot of money.
You get a, hold on, it's a heaping helping of succulent teeny tiny corn. Whoops, I think I may have just ordered some.
Oh, no.
Did you
cancel
really?
The order? Mm-hmm. Cancel the order.
They've got a chicken strip basket. Oh, that's clever.
That's
a veritable mountain of glistening golden chick.
In.
That's what it says.
I was hoping it would be chick dot 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 in.
Ooh, they have double chicken wings, roasted red pepper hummus, and French fries. So
there you go. JP can get him some hummus.
Yeah, he can get him some hummus. But
and they have hummus. They have a garden burger. Get naughty while being nice to
they
the
have
plant.
A garden burger.
Yes, yes. It's called garden burger.
Vegans need love too, Avery. Vegans need love too. Oh,
can we get that trending?
No, we can't.
Not on the Tarf Starn show, but just in general.
We've taken a really rough turn. We just got put on prayer list across America. That's all I'm going to say. Do we have a caller on the line, Avery? Oh, we don't have. All right. So Don from Portland, Maine, wanted to let us know that he called his senator, Susan Collins, to let him know that he thinks what's happening is ridiculous. But Don couldn't come on the pro. All right. Well, Don, we appreciate you at least calling. Oh, we got to take a break here. Jeez, Lou, I got kind of sucked into this story here. 844-747-8868. Toll free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starn Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Okay, wait a second. Wait. How did Harvey Weinstein, how did he get a coronavirus test? No, seriously, all of these folks over at Rikers Island here in New York City, they're all getting tested for the coronavirus. Well, wait, what about the law-abiding people? What about those folks? Where do they go to get a test? Unbelievable. I want to go to the newsmaker line. Sherry Kim joins us, a Republican strategist and a self-professed recovering Doritos addict. I think I'm more interested to hear about that, Sherry.
I used to be a fat kid, and now I try to be just a fat kid at heart. So I love the food conversation from earlier.
Oh, my word. Yes. the show takes very unusual turns every now and again, Sherry. So my apologies for that.
It's okay, Todd. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, look, great to have you with us. So, look, a lot going on right now. And Democrats, wow, it's just when you think they can't go low, they go lower.
That's absolutely right. And we have a bifurcated problem moving forward. First and foremost, the Senate Democrats, led by Speaker Pelosi, who knew she was both a member of the House as well as the leader of the U.S. Senate. She is proclaiming that this bill is wrong because there's a $500 billion quote-unquote slush fund. But that's one section of an almost 600-page bill. So if she really cared about sending money to small businesses and to the American worker, it's really easy to remove one section. But the second problem is that instead of doing what is clear and with a great deal of moral clarity, she proposed right off the bat, in order to stimulate the economy and help people in a coronavirus crisis, to create an additional $1 billion and put towards implementation of the Hyde Amendment. I mean, this is what this woman is thinking. And so when the American people look in Washington, D.C., they have to realize, first and foremost, she doesn't actually care about the workers. She only wants to talk about it. And two, her morality in adding $1 billion to the Hyde Amendment, in creating solar and wind tax, in increasing fuel emission for airlines when they're losing billions of dollars every week. That's what she wants. And that's the problem the American voter faces.
You know, I'm concerned here more so about the economy than I am the coronavirus, to be honest with you, Sherry.
I absolutely agree with you. I mean, the most remarkable thing about President Trump, whether you agree with him or not, is that from the day that he was sworn into office, the Dow Jones and the stock market was right around 19,000. As of 4 weeks ago, it was around 27,000. So if you really think about it, but for Donald Trump being president, we would be in single digits in the stock market. It's amazing to think that his policies have put into place one of the best markets until the coronavirus took effect.
Where do you see this going? And do you, I mean, I sense a bit of a people are playing politics with all of this.
You're absolutely right. They are playing politics. And I think the best thing that President Trump can do now is give certainty. The problem that you see is that governors, mayors, politicians of both parties, they're making wild decisions, locking down the city of Dallas, keeping open the city of Boise. People are whiplashed by both information and lack of information. The best thing that President Trump can do now is just say either everybody is going to go back to work and we're going to open our borders in 2 weeks and 3 weeks, but until then you sit, or he puts a different plan in place so that people can start planning for their lives. That's the problem with businesses. That's the problem with mom and pop. That's the problem that I'm facing right now. There is no certainty. And in a lack of certainty, people just create confusion and chaos.
All right. Well, Sherry, we're going to leave it there. We'd love to get you back on down the road. Thank you. Be safe.
Thank you so much. You as well.
All right. Get some Doritos, too. I love the Doritos. All right. Sherry Kim, ladies and gentlemen, a Republican strategist. Hey, by the way, we're going to our shows are normally fairly well structured, but we're just sort of going with it for the next couple of weeks. We're going to have some fun. We're going to share some laughs. Some of you might have a song that you'd like for us to play. We can come back into. Maybe we should take requests, Caleb and Avery. Maybe we could do something like that.
The request line is open for business.
I already have several as well. For
like
my
a top 40.
Top 40. Ooh, that could be good for going on the website as well.
Or country. Yeah, whatever. So drop us a line. Let us know. We're going to try to have as much fun as we can have talking about also some of these very serious issues. Also, here's an encouragement. When you see a truck driver, maybe you see somebody, a doctor, a nurse, why don't you go and say thank you? Stand 6 feet, you know, do the whole social, but say thank you. And, you know, maybe they're standing in the line at the Chick-fil-A or whatever, maybe buy a meal for them. They're working hard for all of us. All right, folks, you get out there. Have a great day. Be safe no matter what you do. Be safe. We'll see you tomorrow. This is the Todd Stern Show.